Okay, we're going to start here at the bottom of Kuf Samach Tet Amud Bet, but the two dots. The Gemara is quoting from the Braisa that we saw before, that Rabbi Shimon Gal Omer, Anotein Matana Lechaveiro, Yegzir Lo Et Hashtar, person grants a gift to his friend, and then the individual returns the shtar, Chazra Matanato, the gift is now retracted, revoked, goes back to the original owner. The two are independent. The fact that he returns the shtar has no bearing on the fact that the gift was granted. So Gemara wants to know, my time with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion that when you hand the shtar back, all of a sudden the whole transaction is unwound? So Ravasi Nasek Omer Lo, Sedezu Netuna Lecha Kozman Shashtar Biyadcha. That he basically, it's an implicit t'nai in the gift. The fact that he gave him a shtar along with the gift, it's basically an implicit t'nai in the gift that as long as you're holding the shtar, the gift is yours. The shtar's not here, the gift's not yours. So when he returns the shtar to the original grantor, that returns the gift as well. So Matgiv la Rabba, Rabba says, what do you mean? Yachi nignavo avad nami? If it's an implicit t'nai that the shtar is what grants the rights to the individual who has the matana to have the field, then it shouldn't matter why he doesn't have the shtar. If he doesn't have the shtar because he returned it to the original grantor, or if he lost the shtar, or the shtar was stolen, then he doesn't have rights to the field either, because he's missing the shtar. So that can't be the reasoning. Rabbi suggests that the reasoning here is ot niknot m'sira k'miflege. They're arguing about the ability to transfer rights that are written to a shtar to another individual. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savar Otiot Niknot Mimisira. Shimon Gamliel believes that you can transfer such rights. Rabbanan Savri Ain Otiot Niknot Mimisira. And the Rabbanan say no. So basically, you can have this case. It can come up in a situation of a debt document, and it can come up in a situation with Mekach Umemkar in a transaction or a sales document. When it comes to a halva, someone lends money. Reuven lends money to Shimon. Now Shimon is a debtor to Reuven. Reuven then can go and take that document and sell it to Levi. Say, Levi, you become the creditor to Shimon. He sells it to Levi. We have that go on in the marketplace today all the time. People are setting bank loans and debt documents, and they're exchanging who is the owner of the right to collect over here. So what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says is you can do that. That which is written in the shtar, even though in sense it's an intangible item, because the shtar itself is just a piece of cloth, it's what's written in the shtar that is valuable, and the shibud created by what's written in the shtar, that is what's valuable, based on the original kinyan. Nevertheless, you're able to transfer such ownership. You can sell that ownership or grant that ownership to someone else. On the other hand, the Rabbanan believe that that's not the case. You can't do that. Since you can't transfer that ownership, if you were to sell a debt document, you would not be able to sell the rights that were embedded in the debt document. And the same would be true by Mekach HaMemkar. Someone sells a field to another, and Reuven sells a field to Shimon. Now Shimon wants to sell it to Levi. So they can do one of two things. They can draw up a new contract, and it says that Shimon sells it to Levi, or Shimon could just sell the contract that from Reuven to Levi. He could just hand him the contract and say, you own it now. So that would be the same question at hand. Whether Otiotnik Nobisira, can he grant them the rights that are in this contract, sell them the contract, and that's why he's holding the contract, or according to Chamim, he can't do such a thing. Now, the Rashbam points out over here that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So he says, Afal Pisha Perish Rabbeinu Chananel, even the Rabbeinu Chananel says, the late Hilchotok Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel here. Why? Yachid Rabbim, halacha kirabim. If you have a machosin, the Rabbono, and the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who are you going to pick? You're going to pick the Chachamim, because that's the Rabbim. Afilu achi, nevertheless, the Hoch Halacha is like Shimon Gamliel. Do tiot niknot v'misira. V'af api, shalo katov lo b'shtar acher, k'nei lecha, v'hu v'chol shibudei. Right, so even though we learned earlier in the Masechta, there was a machlokes, whether when you did otiot niknot v'misira, I mean when you passed on the shtar, or you granted those rights to another individual, whether you had to write a second shtar that said that I'm granting those rights and all the shibud found in the shtar to another person. So there was those that said you had to write a second shtar. Even though that there are those that say, we don't hold that way. You just have to write. You just hand the shtar over. You can give the shtar over as a kinyan. Because we hold otiot niknot b'misira. And he says, Rav Ashi holds like that, and Abai and Rava hold like that. So, therefore we pass on like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The only little thing is that the din of Shmuel still applies. And the din of Shmuel is that the original owner, if he wants to be mochel on the chov, he wants to forgive the loan, then it's forgiven. So that din of Shmuel still exists. So even though you can sell a debt document, or even though you can use a shtar and sell the shtar as a right to claim to a property, nevertheless, there's one little nuance which makes it very difficult. That actually makes it very, very difficult to transact with shtarot or with debt documents, which is that Shmuel says that the right is still granted to the original owner or the original creditor to be mochel on the loan or to be mochel on the rights of the sale. And if that's the case, that retained right actually makes it very precarious for any buyer who wants to buy in this methodology. But Be that as may, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's yod niknot b'misira, just that the din of Shmuel still applies in that instant. So now the Gemara says, Tam Rabbanon habadli don b'shtaru b'chazaka. Someone shows up in Beis Din, says that I own the property. They go, okay. Somebody comes along and says, no, you don't own the property. That's my property. He says, listen, I own the property and I have proof. First of all, I have a shtar. And number two is I've lived there for 3 years. I have edim that I lived there for the yumei chazaka, the shnei chazaka that I'm supposed to live there. Now, truthfully, he doesn't have to say he has a shtar, because the whole purpose of Shnei Chazakah, whole purpose of the years of the Chazakah is to replace the shtar. That after 3 years, he doesn't have to be Shomer shtar. He's not Shomer shtar. Instead of the shtar, he can have the Shnei Chazakah. But here, he comes into court and he presents himself. He says, I got better. I have the shtar in a Chazakah. So now, what is it? We have a machlokas here. Nidon b'shtar to be Rabbi. Rabbi says, then he's got to bring the shtar. He says he has a shtar. Let him bring in the shtar. That we deal with the chazakah, not the shtar. The shtar is unnecessary. Let him deal with the chazakah. What's there? But my kamiflegay, what are they arguing about? Rav Dimi says the machlokus here between Rabbi and Rav Shimon Gamliel is b'otiyot niknot b'misira. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you cannot transfer this intangible rights that are found in the document. You can't transfer them. You can't sell them. Rabbi savar otiyot niknot b'misira. And Rabbi says you can transfer those rights. So now, we have a stira here, because before, in the case before, we used that to explain the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, when you hand the document back to the grantor of the gift is terminated. Why? Because, otiyot niknot b'misira, when you hand him the contract back, when you give it back to him, you've also granted him the rights to the property, because you're able to be makneh, the rights to the property, through giving him the shtar, through being makneh the shtar. And over here, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, wait a minute, if he shows up in court, and we're talking about a shtar, and a chazakah, we take a shtar and a chazakah, we say, Eino tiyot niknot mimsira, that the shtar is irrelevant now. All we're going to focus on over here is the edei chazakah. Because he says, the only way that he could have taken possession of the property over here was lei chazei kuknei, that he had to go and actually take physical possession of the property. Because the shtar, mechiro, or the shtar that allowed matano, that possibly could have allowed him, or someone could have sold to him to grant the rights in the property, that's not meaningful, because Eino tiyot niknot mimsira. The chachamim say, no. The Rebbe, who, and the Chamin before, who said, Ein otiyot niknot b'misira, now match with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rebbe over here, who says, otiyot niknot b'misira, that we do look at the shtar, because the shtar is relevant. That seems to be like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's position before. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Dimi, right, and came plukto to lamar. You're arguing on Rabbo then. So he says, all right. He says, what's the problem with that? I disagree with Rabbo. So Amar Lei, v'tiflok, what's the problem? Me, Rav Dimi, there's Rabbo, and we disagree. But we, one of us holds, Rabbo holds that Rav Shimon Gamliel believes Otiyot Niknot B'Misira, and I hold that Rav Shimon Gamliel believes Ein Otiyot Niknot B'Misira. What's the problem with that? And he says, all right, no, that's not what I meant. I'm going to read the Girsa here according to the Rishbam, basically, but it says, Amar Lei Hachi Kamina Lecha, this is what I mean, Jehoim Kein Kasho, to Rav Shimon Gamliel, to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, fine, you don't want to hold a grabba, that's fine. But then how are you going to explain the Bryce, but what we explained before, the Bryce about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel versus the Chumis opinion about returning of the document to the grantor. When you return the document to the grantor, that terminates the gift or gives the gift back. How are you going to explain that machlokas? The only really reasonable way to explain it is Otiyot Niknot B'Misira. And if you do that, like Rabba says, and then we give the explanation of the machlokas here about Habali Don B'Shtar B'Chazakah, and we explain that being the same machlokas of Otiyot Niknot B'Misira, then you have a stira in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And how are you going to reconcile that stira in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? So he says, "In Kain Kasha, the Rishim Gamshumil." So Ela Omar Abayi suggests a different way to explain the machlokas here. Of a nidon b'shtar ubechazaka, one comes. How's he explain it? Achom eskinen kolon shenibsa achad mehem karov upasul. One of the signatories on the shtar is found to be a karov or a pasul, which basically invalidates the shtar. Ublugtu the Rabbi Meir Rabbi Lozer kamiflekei. They're arguing a machlokas that we saw in Gittin and in other places. That machlokas between Rabbi Meir Rabbi Lozer. Rebbe, several like Rabbi Elazar, Rebbe holds like Rabbi Elazar, damar edei misira karte, that the only, what matters here are the edei misira. So since the edei misira are what matter here, the people who witnessed the granting of the property, or the people who witnessed the shtar being given, the invalidation of the shtar because of the eid pasul or karov is not meaningful to us over here. So if he wants to come, we'll look at the shtar. Rebbe says, let's look at what the shtar says. The shtar says whatever it says. Forget about the edim at the bottom. They're not relevant to us. Why are there edim at the bottom of the shtar anyway? It's only mipnei tikkun olam. Because we're afraid the edim and seer are going to disappear. We won't be able to find them. We won't be able to mekayim it. So they sign at the bottom. All right. So they're no good. Let's leave them out. We have the shtar. We'll get the edim and seer and we'll work with the shtar. Mishigal Meo, Savar like a Rebbe Meir. Mishigal Meo holds like Rebbe Meir holds edei chatima, damar edei chatima karte. That the edim that testify and the validation of the document comes from the edim that are signed on the bottom of the contract. So if that's the case, we have edim that are psulim. there was never a transaction. So there's nothing to talk about here. So the only thing you can discuss over here is the chazakah, because the shtar itself is invalid, or at least has no bearing on his claim here. So wait a minute. This doesn't make so much sense. V'hama Rav Abba modaya Rav Elazar b'mezuyaf mitocho shipasul. I mean, what are you talking about here? Even Rav Elazar who says Eide Mesira Karte, that's as long as we don't have Eide Chatima, or there's something we're unable to verify the Eide Chatima. But if we find out that there's some problem with the Eide Chatima, that there's a problem with the shtar itself, that the shtar is mezuyaf, could be possibly forged, or that there's some problem with the edim on the shtar, that will cast aspersions on the whole claim. That's not just a problem for the shtar itself, it's a problem for the entire claim. And even Rabbi Lazar, who says Eide Mesira Karte, still agrees to that position. So if that's the case, so what are you going to do? Amar Rabbi Moda, Rabbi Lazar mezuyaf in tochosh pasul, el Amar Rabbi Avina. Rabbi Avina says, "Akol modim shem katuv bo, huzkaknu leidutan shel edim, v'nimtzai dutan mezuyefet shu pasul k'Rabbi Abba." Everybody agrees. If we looked at the shtar and we find out that the edim are either psulim or krovim and it invalidates the shtar, there's nothing to talk about. Rabbi Shimon Galil and Rabbi both agree. Then the shtar is invalid. There's nothing to speak about. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir, everybody would agree that their shtar is invalid in this instance. The machlokas here is when there are no edim signed on the shtar whatsoever. So now, when there are no edim signed on the shtar whatsoever, we have a shtar that documents a transaction. Now, if there are no edim on the shtar, according to Rabbi Meir, who says edi chatima karte, we don't have a shtar. There's nothing to talk about. There is no shtar here. The shtar is totally irrelevant. The only thing we can discuss over here is the shnei chazaka. According to Rabbi Elazar, that it's edim sira karte. According to that, then it doesn't matter that there are no edim on the shtar. The fact that there are no edim on the shtar doesn't change anything. We need edim sira. It's possibly that there were no edim that signed on the shtar. That's all le mitik b'nei tikkun olam. But we have edim that they, or we can find edim, or there are possibly edim that the sira took place, that the transaction took place, and that's the case. It's a valid transaction. The shtar could be a valid shtar, even though there are no edim that are signed at the bottom of the shtar. Basically, until this point, we have the two positions, the position of Abaye and the position of Rabbi Avina, which are focusing the machlokas on Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Lazar, the Mesira Karte, then we don't really worry about, according to Abaye, we weren't going to worry if there were even Psulei on the, or Krovim on the shtar. We say, wait a minute, even Rabbi Lazar agrees when there's Psulei Duta, when there's a problem with the shtar itself, that's not good. So then we came down to Rabbi Avina's pshat that says, no, when by Rabbi Lazar, when Eidim Mesira Karte, that means that they are the ones that allow the transaction to go through. And if you have a shtar with Eidim over here, if you bring the Eidim Mesira, we're totally fine, we have a transaction. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, it says Eidim Chatima Karte, if Eidim Chatima Karte, first of all, if you have Psulei Duta, for sure, there's no question that this shtar is invalid, and we have nothing here. Number two is you have a shtar even without edim on it, according to Rabbi Meir, you have no shtar. So the only way he could have taken possession of the property is if he has lech hazek uknei. They said, go take possession of it. He made a kinyan chazakah on the property. So that's what he says. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that's nidon b'chazakah. But chazakah means that's the only way you could have taken possession of the property. According to Rabbi, who holds like Rabbi Elazar, edim esir karte, there's a possibility that you took possession of the property through the chazakah, through lech hazek uknei, that you physically took possession of the property, or it's possible that the shtar itself was valid and you took possession of it through the edim esira. So you can bring either one. Bring your Eide Mesira, bring your Eide Chazaka. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who's holding like Rabbi Meir, there's only one possibility of how you could have taken possession here, and that is through the Chazaka, through taking possession of the property. So based on this, Rabbi Avina says, this is the machlokas. We're talking about a shtar has no edim on it. The Rebbe says, like Rabbi Lazar, Darmei de Simir Karte. Rebbe holds like Rabbi Lazar that says, Eide Mesira Karte. And therefore, the shtar could be a valid shtar. The transaction could have taken place even though there was no Lech Hazek Uknei, he didn't physically take possession of the property. It could have happened because there were Eidim Mesira and there was some sort of transference of ownership through the shtar. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Leo, Sabalaka Rabbi Meir, that Eidim Chatima Karte. If there are no Eidim on the shtar, there's only one way you could take possession of this property, and that is through Chazakah. V'baitema is another possibility of how to explain the machlokas here is v'mode b'shtar shekadvo tzarich l'kaimo kamiflegei. It's a question, when we have a admission by the one of the parties that they wrote the shtar, do you have to make kayim that shtar or not? So here we have an agreement between both parties that there was a shtar written, that there was some sort of transaction, something that happened between them. So he says, yes, I wrote a shtar, but I bought it back from you. Yes, I once sold the property to you, but now I bought it back from you. So that's the question at hand here. We have a shtar that both parties agree was written. Now the question is, whose obligation is it to verify the shtar? The buyer can say, listen, I have the shtar, it's signed with the edim, everything looks good. What do I have to do? It's like a shtar she nechukah idutan. It's equivalent to a good as if Beis Din went through Beis Din, everything's fine. You want to take it back, you got to prove it. Or do we say no, that when the seller who originally sold the property comes back and says, I bought the property back, he says, look, I have a shtar that you sold it to me. We say, okay, bring the edim. Show us that the shtar is good. So that'll be their machlokus over here. The Rebbe says, you don't have to mekayim it. So now when you have a shtar here, shtar gives you rights to the property. So you can use shtar, you can use chazakah. Both of them give you rights to the property. Why? We don't worry about Jews forging contracts. That's not what we are worried about. The Chachamim made some chumrah that we want a kiyum by a Beis Din. When somebody starts to cast aspersions on the document, we want you to verify the document or establish the veracity of the document. So there are two ways to establish the veracity of the document. One possibility is that the veracity of the document is determined by being mevarer the edim or being mekayim the edim. The other possibility is through the admission of the other party in the contract. So either way, that's a good way to mekayim the shtar. On the other hand, Rav Shimon Gamliel says there's only one way to do this. The one way to make sure or ensure the validity of the document is to get the edim to come testify. We don't have the edim. Just because the other party admits that the shtar was once written, that's not sufficient to give veracity to the document. So when I says, wait a minute, can we really explain it this way? Don't we know that their positions are the opposite in this case? Why? Titania, we have a brisa from early on in Bobi Mitzio, Shnaim Adukim Bishtar. Two people are holding on to a shtar. Malve Omer Shalihu. Malve says a creditor says it's my shtar. But not found me many. It fell on the floor, Matzato. And he found it. That's why he's holding on to it. Amol, it's my shtar, and he's trying to grab it because it fell on the floor. Velova Omer Shalchahu. Uparatichalacha. You're right. It was your shtar, but I already paid it back. And that's why I have possession, and that's why I'm holding on to it. So what? To it kayem ashtar bechutmav divi Rabbi. Rabbi says, let's look at. We have to validate the shtar. If the shtar is validated, it sounds like the creditor will get all the money here. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer yachloku that they split it. It's shnayim ochzim, so they're going to split it. We don't know who it really belongs to, so we'll split it. Vavinam ban. We question this whole brisa. For lately, the Rabbi hadatan. Rabbi doesn't have the mishnah at the beginning of shnayim ochzim betalit. Zer omer mitzatia vezer omer animatzatia zei shava shein lo ba pachot mechatzia vezei shava shein lo pachot mechatzia yachloku. The basic mishnah of shnayim ochzim, which is that if two people are holding on to something, each one has a half. Then we say, Yachloku, they split it. How do they split it? Each one will take a shvuah that they own no less than a half of it. And by taking that shvuah, then they're entitled to be splitting it. So why over here? What is Rebbe's all of a sudden saying? Oh, if the shtar is a good shtar, then we'll give the creditor everything. So, v'amarav nachman, b'mikuyam, dukuliyam alo plige de yachloku. When the shtar is mikuyam, when we know that it's verified and Beis Din has put a henpeck, has given, established its veracity, then we don't, nobody has a question. Both Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi agree that yachloku, they'll split it. Ki plige b'she'enu mikuyam. Where do they argue? They argue when the shtar itself is not mikuyam. The shtar is not mikuyam. Rebbe sever mode b'shtar shit kot vot zarich lekaimo. Rebbe says, just because the loveh agrees here that the document was once written does not establish the veracity of the document. So, if he brings edim to show the veracity of the document, gavi palga, then he gets his half the malveh. V'lo chaspa ba'almahu. If he doesn't, then it's like a piece of a shard of pottery. I mean, it's worthless. The shtar will be worthless without being mekayemet. So even though the loveh agrees it's once a shtar, then it has no bearing on the veracity of the shtar. Rebbe, in this place, is saying that you have to be mekayem a shtar. You have to have outside verification of the shtar. So you need the edim, you need Beis Din to look into it and to give a verification of the shtar. Rebbe Shigal Maleo, Savar Modeb Shtar Shekato, and Tzarech Lekayemo, V'yachloku. Shigal says, no, if it's not mekuyam, the loveh agrees that the shtar is written. So since both parties agree that the shtar is written, we don't have to establish a veracity of the document anymore, and therefore V'yachloku. Well, this is just the opposite of what we just tried to establish their positions over here in our Gemara. So there are two possibilities to answer this. One is Ipuch, flip their positions here in our Gemara, we'll switch the positions around. That's one possibility. Don't flip their positions here. They're arguing about a concept called the varer. Now, the concept of the varer is that basically a person who comes to court, a litigant who comes to court, we demand evidence of him to his claim. Now, when we demand evidence to his claim, he has a certain threshold that he has to use, and if he crosses that threshold, then he's brought the evidence, then we believe him. Now, what happens if a litigant who comes to court tells us that he has more evidence that's necessary to cross the threshold, which is our case here. The case here is that you have somebody coming and saying, I own the land, I bought it. So you say, well, how do you have proof that you bought it? He says, well, I've lived there, I have edim that said I lived there, for shnei chazakah. That would be sufficient, that would cross the threshold, giving him ownership of the field. So he says, but I also happen to have the shtar as well. Now the shtar is not necessary for him to prove his ownership, because all he has to prove over here is that claim, make a claim that he bought it, and bring the edim that he has a chazakah. But he makes a claim that's even stronger, which says that I have the shtar. So in that case, what do? When we ask him to come and mevarer, come in to check this out, do we then say he gave a better claim, we're going to go check it out? Or do we say it was unnecessary for him to make that extra claim, and therefore we won't check it up? And that's what the machlok is here. Because, what's the case? Kihadar of Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amasik Bezuze, Rabbi Abba. Yitzchak bar Yosef was a creditor to Rabbi Abba. Ata the Kameder of Yitzchak Nafko came before Rabbi Yitzchak Nafko, Amar, Praticha, Bifnei Ploni Uploni. He says, I paid you before these edim. He says, I already discharged the debt, I paid back the obligation that I had to you, and these are the edim that saw it. So Malay, Rabbi Yitzchak, you have Ploni Ploni, Vyayidu. He says, bring in the edim. You say you have edim, bring them in, let's hear them. So Malay, Rabbi Abba says, why? Why do I have to bring them in? If I don't bring these edim in, you're not going to believe me. We have a principle that we've seen all over. Even though someone lends in front of edim, the return or the repayment of the loan does not have to be done in front of edim. So the fact that I did it in front of edim was totally gratuitous over here. I didn't have to do this. And the fact that I did it was even, it was a nicety that I did, just so I had that proof. And now that I said to you that I paid in front of edim, why is it necessary to bring the edim in? If I just said to you I paid it back, it would have been enough. My claim would have been sufficient then. The fact that I added in that it was in front of edim, that's going to hurt me? That's going to reduce my rights here somehow? And now I'm going to have to bring in the edim to prove it? He says, yes. He says, MLA. He says, Ana b'hai yishmaita demarsfile. He says, listen. Rabbi Yitzchak says back to him, listen. Rabbi Abba, that's very nice. But I hold like you. And you know what you said? Listen to what you said. Amir Rabbi Abba, Amir Rav Adar, Abba, Amir Rav. So Rabbi Abba says in the name of Rav, Omer l'chavero praticha b'fnei ploni ploni tzarech shivou ploni ploni v'yidu. Then they have to show up. If you make a claim, even though it's unnecessary, then you got to verify your claim. If you show up in Beis Din and say that I paid him back in front of Edim, and Beis Din's going to say, all right, come and bring the Edim in. Let's see those Edim, even though it was unnecessary. So he says, I'm holding like you, you who quoted in the name of Rav. So now he comes back and he says, no. Amalei, v'amar Rav Gidol Marav. I have another member from Rav, which is what? Halacha k'divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Halacha like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel means that we do not have to be mevarer. We don't check it out. Because back in the Machlokas before, we said a person comes with a shtar and a chazakah, he has this extra information that's unnecessary about the shtar. Rabbi says, bring out the shtar then. You want to say you have a shtar? Bring it. Let's see it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, just go with the chazakah. We don't need the shtar. Deal with the chazakah. So if the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it says that even though I said I paid it back in front of Edim, and it was unnecessary to do that, then I don't have to bring the edim in. Just the fact that I say I paid it back should be sufficient that it's over, the case is over, and we shouldn't have to talk anymore. It says, Va'af Rebbe, and even Rebbe, lo amar elolavarer. And Rebbe himself only says to clarify the situation. So now, what does that mean? We're going to say in a second, it turns out to be a machlokes between the Rishbam and the Tosfot. I'd read this next line in the Gemara. It says, Amalei ananami. Rabbi Yitzchak says, me too, levarer kamina. That's what I meant to say, levarer. So now, the Rishbam, we'll read first the way the Rishbam reads it. Rishbam says that Rabbi Abba is basically coming to the claim that the loch is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The loch is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which means that if I bring extra evidence that's unnecessary, that's nice, but I don't have to prove it. I don't have to show up. But as long as I bring the minimum threshold to what it means to get my, or to win the case, even though I offered additional evidence, I don't have to bring that evidence. So that's the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And he says, even Rabbi, who disagrees with Shimon Gamliel, only says lechatchila. Lechatchila, he says, look, levarer. If we find out that he tried to bring information, let's go check it out. Let's go see. If they go to the Edim and they say, lo hayu dvarim olam, that never happened, then the fact that we've now got questions about his additional evidence will cast aspersions on his whole claim. So if we get evidence to the contrary of what he's saying, then we'll say, you know, nothing doing, you know, you made this extra claim and all of a sudden this is not truthful, then how can we believe you about anything else? On the other hand, if we find no evidence, we can't get the edim, or the edim don't show up, and we have nothing to change the case, then we'll just go with the basic evidence that's there, and we'll pass in the case in his favor. So that's what Rabbi Abba says. Rabbi Abba says, Allah is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And even Rabbi who disagrees, only disagrees like Hatkil, if we find some contrary evidence through these edim or through the extra claim that he made, then it's a problem. But otherwise, we give it to the litigant. We say you have the minimum threshold, it's fine. So then, Amalei, so now what did Rabbi Yitzchak say back to him? Ana savri levarer kamina. No, he says, I disagree. When I say that, when I think Rabbi says levarer, he means levarer legamri, meaning lechatchila and bidiyevit. That if you make a claim of evidence, and then you can't verify, you can't bring that evidence to the courts, you will lose. Not only is it just lechatchila, but even b'di'evit, you're going to lose in that case. And that will be the conclusion here, is that it's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi. Shimon Gamliel says you don't have to bring the evidence, and Rabbi says you do have to bring the evidence, and if you don't bring the evidence, you're actually going to lose out. So that's the position of the Rashbam here. On the other hand, Tosfos says, no. Tosfos says, that's not what's going on here. When Rabbi Ava came to Rabbi Yitzchak and said to him, listen, I think that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and even Rabbi says Levarer only means Lechatchila, then you know what Rabbi Yitzchak said back to him? That's what I meant. I meant Levarer. Levarer like you meant Levarer. Let's go check it out. We'll go check it out and see what the claim is, the evidence is. If we find evidence to the contrary, then it'll cast aspersions on your whole claim. You're right. If you don't show up with Edim and we can't find them, then fine. You'll get it based on your basic claim that Paraticha, that I paid it back. So what ends up happening according to Tosfos is that Rabbi Yitzchak, in the end, agrees to the way that Rabbi Abba is explaining it. So even though the Lacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Lacha is really like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that we don't require to bring the extra evidence. But the Lacha is also like Rabbi, so we can pasken the Lacha like Rabbi, because pasken the Lacha like Rabbi is also pasken the Lacha like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Because Rabbi only says, in addition to what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, is let's just check it out. There's no loss in checking out the extra evidence that he's making a claim. If we find something to the contrary, find something that's questionable about what he said, then we'll cast aspersions. So that's the way Tosfos learns, and then based on Tosfos, you will pass him like Rabbi, because Rabbi is just Rabbi Shimon Gamliel plus. On the other hand, the Rashbam writes over here, see, it says that the even though in general we paskin halacha is Rebbe mechaveiro velo mechaveirav, and here it's Rebbe versus Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so the halacha should be like Rabbi over here. Nevertheless, b'hai hilchos like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Over here, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. She ain't tzarich levarer. You don't have to check it out. Kedam Rabbi Gidol Amarav. So according to the Rashbam, he's got to explain the halacha like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel means neged Rebbe, because according to Rashbam, their machlokus persists even in the conclusion. Because Rabbi Yitzchak, when he responds to Rabbi Abba, says no. When Rebbe believes the varer means the that it will ruin the case if you don't bring the evidence in. Even if we don't find anything, we can't find anything, that'll ruin it. You offered the evidence, you've got to bring it. So according to the Rashbam, we have to pass on the lacha. We're passing the lacha like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because that's what Amar of Gilam Rav says, and we pass on like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that means we're going against Rabbi. According to Tosafot, where Rabbi is just an extension of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, meaning that the Chatchila will check it out, and if we find evidence to the contrary, it'll be a problem, then he says we pass on the lacha like Rabbi, because that's not a problem, or it does not undermine the statement of Amar Gidol Amar Rav that Allah is like Shimon Gamliel. Because in Ochanami, the halacha is like Shimon Gamliel in the end. If you don't bring the evidence, you're fine. But just the chetchila, we are a choshesh to look into it, or the varer at the situation. It's a concept that we've seen before in other places, in Ketubot, in other places, they're dealing with what do you do when there's partial payment of a credit document. Misha para miksat chuvo, someone who paid back a portion of his loan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yachlif. Rabbi Yehuda says you exchange the contract. What does that mean, you exchange the contract? You write him a new credit document. He had a document that he owed 100 before. Now you write him a document. He paid 50 back. You say you write him a new document that says 50. Now, when you rewrite the document, when do you date the document? From the statement of Yehuda, it's unclear in the Mishnah whether you give him the original, do you date the contract, you predate it back, retroactively date it to the original transaction, or do you date it from today's date? So that is unclear in the Mishnah, and will actually be subject to a machloket Rishonim when we get into the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yechtov Shovar. It says, write him a receipt. So he says, write him a receipt. You have to hold on to receipts. Amar Yehuda, and him says, Yitzarich Yod Shomer Shovaro Min Achbarim. Read the system. Well, what do you mean? You're going to force now the debtor to hold on to this receipt? Because if he loses their seat, what's going to happen? The creditor is going to come back and then claim the whole amount from him. So now you're putting a lot of pressure on the debtor. If he loses the receipt, he's going to lose not only his money, but he's going to have to pay it again. So what are you going to say? Oh, what about the creditor? If the creditor loses his debt document, he also won't have a claim. So you can say one of two things. We'll actually deal with it in tomorrow's daf about exactly what the difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is and why the obligation devolves upon the malveh and not the lovet to be shomer the document. But you can say basic, in a basic sense, without looking at the Gemara, without the Gemara tomorrow, is that the debtor is just saying that is protecting himself from having to expend money. Whereas the creditor is actually making a claim to extract money from someone. So when you have a claim to extract money from someone, they say, you are the one who's obligated to keep a contract around. You're a creditor. You keep your document so you can extract money. The debtor is protecting himself. He paid money and he's trying to stop the creditor from extracting money from him. In that case, we're going to say, let's put the obligation on the creditor and not on the debtor. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position, that we'd rather have the obligation be on the creditor than on the debtor. So I'm a Rabbi Yossi, kach yafelo? Is this really so good? What do you mean? Why should it be that in order to benefit the debtor, we abrogate the rights of the creditor? Why should it be that way? Now you could say, according to one possibility, is they ever getting the rights of the creditors, then why are we putting the obligation on the creditor to watch his document? Let the debtor do it. Meaning that Eved Loveh the Ishmalveh, the Loveh is really in at the whim of the creditor and at the whim of the Malveh, and therefore the Loveh is the one to obligate. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. He's not the one who's got to keep hang on to the Shovar. That's his problem. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the obligation's on the Malveh. That's one possibly explaining what the question of Rabbi Yossi is. The other possibility here is that Rabbi Yehuda, and this is what we mentioned before, said before that you exchange out the shtar. If you exchange out the shtar, what was the dating on it? If you say that the dating on the new shtar is from the current date, then that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying to Rabbi Yehuda. Listen to me. If you think you're going to redate the shtar to today, why? To protect the debtor? You're going to remark the shtar to today's date and ruin the lien of the creditor? Why should we ruin the lien of the creditor to the benefit of the debtor just because he doesn't want to hold on to his receipt? That doesn't make sense. So those are two possibilities of explaining what Rabbi Yossi means over here. So Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Ein Halacha Lo K'Rabbi Yehuda, V'Lo K'Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi, like neither in the Mishnah. Beis Din Mikarin Ashtar, V'Kodin Oshtar Acher Mizman Rishon. But the Halacha is, number one, that Beis Din does it. Beis Din does the Shtar, rewrites it, rips up the Shtar, and writes a new Shtar. And number two is, V'Kodin Lo Mishtar Mizman Rishon. And we write the Shtar backdated to the original date of the original loan. So Rav Huna brought this in the name of Rav. They're questioning this position. Ish mile the Rav had brisa. Had Rav heard this brisa, which we're going to say, the Tanya Edim Mikarim at the Shtar Bekotim Lo Shtar Acher Mizman Rishon, that we're going to see tomorrow's daf. This brisa is brought down. That Rehuda believes that the Edim tear up the Shtar and they write it Mizman Rishon. They write it from the backdated to the original date. Havahadarbe. He would have retracted his position and he would have held like Rav Yehuda. So now, Rav makes two conditions, or proposes two conditions here. One is that Beis Din does it, and number two is that it be backdated to the original time. Now, what Rav Nachman is asking, Rav Huna, is actually subject to machlokes between the Rashbam and Tosafot, based on their understanding of Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah. Depending, we said before, depending on how you understand Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah, that's machlokes Rishonim, and that will have impact on how you read this Gemara now. So first we'll read according to the Rashbam. The Rashbam believes that in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda just saying, yes, you backdate it to the original time. And the only thing that Rabbi Yehuda says is that you do what they deem, and you backdate it to the original date. So that's the question of Rabbi Yossi. Then afterwards is why we're going to abrogate the rights of the Malveh for the benefit of the Loveh means this. Why should we force the Malveh to hang on to his document? Let the Loveh hold on to his document. Why are we empowering the debtor in any way? So that's the question. Then Rav Nachman comes along and says, listen, Rav says it has to be Beis Din Min Zman Rishon. Rav Nachman comes along and says, well, had Rav heard that Rabbi Yehuda says that the Edim could do it from Zman Rishon, he would have agreed to the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Because Mali Edim, Mali Beis Din. That's what the Gemara is reading now. Rav Nachman says, who cares if Edim do the backdating or if Beis Din does the backdating? That's the question of Rav Nachman to Rav Huna. And then Rav Huna responds to him, says, Amalei, Shmielei, he heard this Breisa, V'lo Hadarbe, and he didn't change his mind. You know why? Because Bishlama Beidina Alim Elefkuim Emolna, when it comes to a Beis Din, they can backdate a Shtar. Why? Because Beis Din has the power. Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. Beis Din has the power to move or predate or backdate a Shibud. They can create a Shibud. It won't be called a Shtar Mukdam because it's Beis Din who's doing it. They can do it. Ela Edim, Shasu Shlichutan, Chozim Asim Shlichutan. Edim that already wrote the contract once, way back when the original loan is given or granted, they're going to do this again? Meaning what grants Edim the right to predate a Shtar or to grant a new Shibud all of a sudden that is backdated to the original date? Edim don't have such a power. Now, truthfully, the Lashon here, and Tosos says at the end of the Tosos here on Amud Aleph, he says in the first Tosos, he says, Lashon Megugam Yoter. The Lashon that the Gemara is using here is very difficult. We'll read in a second what his explanation of how to read the Lashon is. But the basic premise of the Gemara is this, that when it comes to Beis Din, we're not going to worry about a Shtar Mukdam when it comes to Beis Din. Predating Shtarot or backdating Shtarot, we're not going to worry about Beis Din because Beis Din is a unique situation. Nobody's going to try to emulate what Beis Din does because Beis Din is empowered to do these things, and we're not going to assume that if Beis Din was Makshir in this case or did it, that we're Makshir all contracts like this. On the other hand, if we let Edim to start backdating or predating Shtarot, you have a Shtar Mukdam, and we say it's fine in these situations, then people are going to get mixed up and they're going to be Makshir documents in general that are backdated or predated, and that'll be a horrible thing because then you'll start changing around the Shibud under or improperly, you'll be granting a lien to people before they really had that lien. So we're not going to say that's what Rav Huna's answer to Rav Nachman is. Listen, Rav doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda because of two things. He says, one, Rav doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda said Edim, and Rav said Beis Din, and there's a big difference between Beis Din and Edim. That's the way the Rashbam reads the Gemara. On the other hand, the Tosafot makes a suggestion that in our Mishnah, it's ambiguous as to what the position of Rabbi Yehuda is. Do you predate the shtar back to the original, or do you date it based on the new shtar that's being brought over here? And since it's ambiguous, the truth is that Rav Nachman thought in the Mishnah, the way Rav Nachman thought, Rav saw Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, he thought Rabbi Yehuda meant to date it from the second, or from the new time. Date it from the time of the writing of the second contract. So that, of course, is no good. Now, we can understand in the Mishnah now what Rabbi Yossi said. His claim against Rabbi Yehuda was what? Why? Rabbi Yossi says, why should we benefit the debtor and say, oh, he doesn't have to hold on to his receipt, so we're going to abrogate the rights of the creditor. Why? We're going to give him a later date. We're going to move his lien now to a much later date. Why should you be able to do that? So that's his claim against Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda is saying, date the new shtar from now, not predated from before. So that's why Rav says, halacha ain't halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. I don't want to have the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. So along comes Rav Nachman and says, listen, Rav didn't really understand Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah really meant from Mizman HaRishon. He really meant to backdate the shtar to the Mizman HaRishon. And he said to do what they deem. So now, what does Rav Nachman come and say? Rav, Paskin, you need Beis Din and you need Mizman HaRishon. The only reason Rav said the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is because he really thought Rabbi Yehuda was saying it was from the second date. But now that we know in a Braisa explicitly that Rabbi Yehuda says that you predate the shtar, you backdate it to the original shtar, then I bet you Rav would agree with him that he could do it. He would agree to Rabbi Yehuda's position. And then the Gemara comes and says, no. That's what Rav Huna's response is. No, you don't understand. There are two problems. Rav made two statements. One is that it's Mizman HaRishon, and number two, it has to be in Beis Din. Now, Rabbi Yehuda only has one of those two qualifications. Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, predated to the original time, but Rabbi Yehuda does not have that position that it has to be done by Beis Din and only by Edim. In the same way that we explained in the Rashbam, Edim and Beis Din are two different entities. What Beis Din can do, Edim don't necessarily are not necessarily able to do. So based on this, you have a machlokas between the Rashbam and the Tosafot, or the Ri, really, how to read Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. We're going to see in the Gemara tomorrow that Rabbi Meir himself was unsure, Rabbi Yossi himself was unsure as to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, because it was ambiguous in the Braisa, what he said, and like in our Mishnah, it's ambiguous. And then, based on that, Rabbi Yossi actually gives different answers to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, because he doesn't know which one it is. But now we know that Rabbi Yehuda says, Mizman HaRishon, and Rav should agree to Rabbi Yehuda. And then we say, no, the Rav doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda because there's a difference between Beis Din and Edim. According to the Rashbam, that's the only difference between Rav and Rabbi Yehuda is Beis Din and Edim. That was the same in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we already knew that he talked about Edim and Mizman HaRishon. And here, the Rav Nachman thinks that Edim and Beis Din are the same thing, and Rav Huna comes and says no. Tosa says, the Ri says no. The Mishnah is ambiguous. The Mishnah is ambiguous. We don't know what Rabbi Yehuda means. So Rav Nachman comes along and says, look, we know Rabbi Yehuda means Mizman HaRishon, so I bet you Rav could agree with him. Rav Huna says, no, you missed the point. Rav has two conditions. One condition is Mizman HaRishon. True. Rabbi Yehuda holds like that, so we can agree on that point. But the second point he doesn't, which is that it's Edim versus Beis Din, and Beis Din is very different. Tosa says in the end, I'll just read it to you, explains that the Lashon here, Edim Shasu Shlichutam, Chozrim Osim Shlichutam, Edim already that did their Shlichut, should do their Shlichut again. What does that mean? So he says, Valkoch Tzarech Likran Lefaresh Kain. You have to explain this. B'chi Edim, Afal Pisha Suslichutan, they didn't, they already did their bidding. B'kfar Chalash Shibud Al Yadan. They engendered or created the Shibud from the original contract. Yochlim Lasot B'shvil Kach Shtar Acher. Just because they wrote a Shtar once and they generated a Shibud or lien in the first place. So now they're free to go and write multiple contracts or another contract. Kiyotzi V'rishon, similar to the first one. Machar Shedomeh L'mkdam, because now it's a predated Shtar. Just because they did it back then doesn't mean now they're entitled or they're granted the right to do it again. Va'afilu, even if the Loveh tells him to go do it, even though the Loveh is admitting it. Just because the Loveh admits that this is the case doesn't grant the Shlichim the rights to go back and predate a Shtar. So that's why he says they have to read this Mishnah. Just because they have the information and because they know it's true doesn't grant them the right to predate a Shtar. Even though everything is truthful and everything is honest, the Edim just don't have such a right. So just because they had the right once doesn't grant them the right forever to write such a contract. And that's the way Tosfos reads this Lashon, even though, again, in the end, he says it's Lashon Megum Gamhu. Okay, we'll stop over here.